If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I am looking across the table this morning at my wife, Debbie, and everyone always tells me, Debbie, the program just goes so much better when Debbie is on the microphone.
Oh, goodness. I don't know about that. Sorry. I have a scratchy throat this morning.
Scratchy throat and all, but you're still here.
But I'm still here.
And it's been a couple of weeks since you've been on.
Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah. It seems like it's been an eternity.
Okay.
So we're going to talk today about the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so Debbie and her Bible study class at church on Sunday mornings, they've been going through Experiencing God, the all-new, updated Experiencing God. And This is a special course for us. I had Richard Blackaby on the program some months ago to talk about the new Experiencing God Bible and the new course that he did. You know, his dad did Experiencing God way back when, and it was an instrumental course in our life when
absolutely
we were transitioning from the business world, selling chemicals for Nalco Chemical Company, to take that step out of the boat, to resign and move to North Carolina from Houston, Texas, and go to seminary. And so, Debbie, share how God used Experiencing God in your life way back when and how he's using it now.
Okay, originally back in the day. Well, it was interesting because I had made a commitment to do Experiencing God, and I wasn't involved in a small group or anything. I had kind of missed out on that opportunity when it was offered at Champion Forest, but I thought, okay, well, I can do the study on my own. I can get, at that time, the tapes and listen, you know, to Henry Blackaby speak on each week's worth of study. And so I had just started it. I mean, like, I was maybe a week or two into it at the most when you came home on that Wednesday evening and told me that God had called you to preach. And you know, the whole, in a nutshell, I mean, there's like seven steps of in the Experiencing God process, but the whole concept involves the fact that God desires this love relationship with you. He seeks you out. And then you have to respond to that, and you find out where God's working, and you get on board with what God's doing. It's not the other way around. It's not you asking God to bless what you're doing. You find what God's doing, and you get on board with what the Lord is doing. Mm-hmm. And so as I was going through that study, I would get so angry because I knew God had a calling on your life. It was just that I didn't want to do that. And so I can remember just getting so angry and frustrated because I was convicted by the truths that I was reading and I was working on in this workbook, Experiencing God, but I did not want that to be the truth. And so I would do the day's study, and I would sometimes not even get through it, and I would just get frustrated, and I would put it in the drawer, and I'd say, I'm just not going to do this. But I'm a very disciplined person, and once I've said I'm going to do something, unless I'm dead or in the hospital, I'm going to do it, you know. And so I would feel, you know, convicted by the fact that I had committed to do it and that I was not completing that. I wasn't completing my promise on that. So I would pull it back out, and I would do it again. Anyway, through the course of the 12-week study, which took me a whole lot longer than 12 weeks because of my you know, irritation with it. God really used that to change my heart and really recognize that, listen, this is just not about me. You know, it's about my surrender to what God's doing. Mm-hmm. And that I was going to be committed to you through this process, that I was going to be surrendered to the Lord and how he wanted to use me in this process. But also with the caveat that, Lord, you're going to have to do a lot of work in me. You're going to have to really change my heart to get me in line. But I'm open to that. I'm open to you changing my heart. And that alone was huge for me to be able to honestly, with integrity of heart, be able to say that. But over the course of those 12 weeks and the ensuing months that came, God did exactly that. Mm-hmm. And as I look back on it, that was just such a pivotal time in my own spiritual life, as well as just in the life of our family, of us just stepping out, seeing where God was working. And at that time for us, God was working at Southeastern Baptist Seminary, and that's where we were called to be. And just the doors that opened for us, and just all the miracles that we saw take place in our lives that we would have missed out on, mm-hmm. had we not have been obedient to that.
Well, I know in the new study, you're just basically a week or two into it?
We are in our third week.
Okay. So you've been, I was looking through your book, and it's focused on the love of God.
Right.
And so, start of the broadcast, Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. That means, to me, as I understand that verse, God loves us, and that is a constant. Romans 8:38-39. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's nothing that you can do to get God to love you anymore. There's nothing that you can do to get God to love you any less. God has set his love on you and me. We're his children. We have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become a child of God. And just like with your children in a human relationship, Debbie and I have three girls. We love our girls. They can do things that displease us. They can do things that break our hearts, but they can't do anything that would cause us to say, I don't love you anymore.
Right.
And the same is true with God. He says, no, I love you. You can displease me, but that doesn't change my love for you. Now, keep yourselves in the love of God means that you have to understand, hey, God's love for me is not dependent upon my performance, because it's easy for us to get on the performance treadmill with God. I've shared before from the pulpit, we get this daisy theology. You remember when you were a kid and you would pull the petals off a flower, you'd be thinking about somebody that you liked, and he loves me, he loves me not, she loves me not. You do all those things, and you hope that you get to the last one that says, well, she loves me, or he loves me. Well, we do that with God. And, I'm doing really good today. God must love me, but I had a bad day. I lost my temper. I succumb to temptation. He loves me not.
Or bad things happen to you. Okay. Yep. God mustn't love me.
Right.
Because this bad thing
I
happened.
I got a promotion. He loves me. Yeah. I lost my job. He loves me not.
Right.
That kind of thing. Well, you keep yourself in the love of God means you understand that God loves you, and you're going to walk in his ways, and you're going to receive that love and love him back. So the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And so in the love of God relationship, and Richard Blackaby says this, a love relationship with God is the most important single factor in your life. It is more important than any single factor in your life. A love relationship with God, keeping yourself in that love relationship so you're receiving his love and you're loving him back.
Well, we had a big discussion this week in our class about this statement that was in our workbook that said this: can you describe your relationship with God by sincerely saying, I love you with all my heart? Mm-hmm. And that was just so convicting, you know, because as we started talking about it, it was like, well, you know, if I'm completely sincere, it's like, okay, well, with all my heart that I'm aware of, I'm able to do that, you know. But we just have so many other things that get in the way, and sin in our hearts and sin in our lives and busyness. And we went back to the fact that loving God with all of our heart does not require some level of emotion that is just giddy feeling, you know, all the time. But that is a decision that we make, and our emotions can catch up to that, because there are going to be times when, just like in your earthly relationships, okay, well, I don't feel love for my spouse right now because he's really made me mad, but I love him. I don't feel love for my kids right now because they've just exacerbated me to no end, you know. But in our love relationship with the Lord, it goes back to that. It's like his love for us never falters, but our love for him waxes and wanes. Mm-hmm. And so we have to just constantly be on guard about that, and make sure that that is the focus. And for some of us who are more, we talked about this in class too, that are more, for lack of a better word, we're not as deep of a thinker, deep of a feeler. You know, some of us, that's just our God-given temperament, that we're not that way. And we talked about the fact that if you're not that way, that can be a really convicting question, because you don't necessarily feel all those feelings, you know, because we've talked about before, like in the ocean of life, you're like, you know, however many fathoms deep, and I'm like a wading pool. I just don't have all these deep thoughts. I'm not one to just ruminate and think on things. That's just not my temperament. And so I don't probably feel things as deeply as you feel them. That doesn't mean that I just don't feel at the same level.
Mm-hmm. Well, the scripture says, as you were talking, Revelation 2:4, as the Lord says, seven letters to the seven churches. The first letter comes to Ephesus. Ephesus was a great church in a great city. Paul spent a lot of time there. Timothy was the pastor there. John was there. Mary died there. Mary, the one that was chosen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And that's the Catholic coming out of me.
That is the Catholic coming out in you.
Yeah. Gabriel said to her, Hail Mary, favored one. Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you. So that Mary died in Ephesus. Ephesus is a key place. And the Lord says to Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You're doing a lot of good things, but your love for me has waned, as we like to use that line from the Robert Robinson song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And that is a constant enemy for you, for me, for us, for the Apostle Paul, for everyone, is we don't keep ourselves in the love of God. We're not white hot with our love for God, and we have to keep battling for that. And so you have to keep seeking him. Another thing that Henry Blackaby talks about, or Richard Blackaby, the quality of your love relationship with God. Everything in your Christian life depends on it, knowing him and experiencing him and fanning the flame, so to speak, of your love for God. So you don't let that wane. Now, Debbie, just like in our relationship, if we don't spend time together, if we don't talk much, maybe just kind of go through the motions, but we're not really connecting on a heart-to-heart level, the quality of our love doesn't go away, but the quality is not there. And
right.
Other things become more important. And that's what happens in our relationship with God. Keep yourselves in the love of God means that you don't let other things take first place. You know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and the Lord will be the most important, Joshua said.
Well, and, you know, we have a lot of things coming against us to divert our attention from that truth and to keep us distracted. The enemy loves to keep us distracted with other things. And we do have to just constantly be on guard against that. And, you know, to in and of ourselves, we're probably not able to do that very well, But the Lord desires that for us. That's His will for us. And so we can ask Him to help us with that, to make us hypersensitive to those times when our heart is starting to stray, even just a little bit.
Right.
And to get us back on course.
Right. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the love of God. As Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. God's love for you is constant. We need to receive that love, walk in that love, and love Him back, because that is the greatest commandment, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. We're talking about the love of God. Now, John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus said in His great high priestly prayer, something that is just mind-blowing, something that every Christian needs to know. He says, Father, I in them, well, back up, verse 22, the glory which You have given Me, I have given to them. He's praying for His followers, that they may be one just as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that You sent Me and loved them even as You have loved Me. Now, Debbie, nobody questions whether the Father loved the Son. We know that. Oh, yes, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. But I don't think very many Christians truly understand that as much as the Father loves the Son, that's how much He loves me. And Jesus said that the Son loves them just as much as He loves the Father. And so we are loved by God in a way that is beyond what our minds can comprehend.
Well, it's interesting. I think small children understand that concept a lot easier than adults do because they're not as tainted by sin. Sin hasn't entered into the picture as much. And so as adults, we can really struggle with that because we have, you know, succumbed to sin in so many different areas of our lives. And we know our hearts. We know what we think. We know the hidden secrets, you know. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, we can think, well, golly, I don't love me at all right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know how anyone else could love me, much less a perfect, holy, holy, holy God. How can He love me? I mean, I think that's why the Bible talks multiple times about you've got to come to Christ in childlike faith, because a child doesn't have a difficult time. They're not hindered in expressing their love and loving fully and completely. And so I think that's the cool thing, that you can really watch young children and you can see that play out before your eyes. Like we see that with our grandkids, you know, just how unfiltered their love is, right?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, as you're talking, so we know ourselves. This has always been, you know, a personal struggle for me. So I know me, and I tend to be perfectionistic. I have to fight.
You think?
I have to fight against that. Mm-hmm. And so I fall short constantly. And so I disappoint myself. And so then you project that onto God. Well, if I disappoint myself, I must be such a disappointment to God, who is holy, holy, holy. And if I don't love myself because I failed here and here and here and here, well, God must not love me either. But that's just not true. There's a poem I heard years ago that I memorized. It says this: I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as the days go by, to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. And I think that as we struggle with sin and as we battle sin in our lives, and let's face it, every Christian does. You never get to the place in the Christian life where you arrive and sin is not an issue anymore. I never struggle with sin. I never battle temptation. It's just I've got it whipped. No, that is when we're glorified. We deal with the flesh. The last part of salvation, you know, salvation comes in three parts. You're saved instantly in the spirit, progressively in the soul, and ultimately in the body when you're glorified. And so it says in Romans 8, we groan within ourselves, waiting anxiously for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. You know, that hasn't happened yet for anybody living on planet Earth. That will happen when the Lord comes back. As we shared during Share-a-thon, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he do when he comes? Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And so we're waiting for that. Until we do get our glorified body, we're going to deal with the flesh that is rebellious against God, and we're going to have to put that to death every day. And so the sin that so easily entangles us, that's what comes against our enjoying fully that love relationship with God.
Well, and then we have an accuser out there who even if we have confessed those things and those sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we have an accuser who is constantly bringing those things back up and causing us guilt, causing us shame. And I know that just in the counseling office, we see this a lot, where it's such a mind game. It's like you, on an intellectual, rational level, as a believer, you can know that God has forgiven you and that your sins have been cleansed. But then there's the practical walking out of that when you are constantly being accused by the enemy that he is attacking, that he is condemning, that he is accusing, and it can keep you feeling very defeated.
Well, that's for sure. Well, we had talked about how do you keep yourself in the love of God. So that's a command from Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Not that God's love is waning. Our love is for him is waning, and our understanding and our acceptance of his love for us, that's what we battle with. And so we had said, Debbie, at the break, it all begins with spending time with God. And there was a little progression that I learned early in my Christian life, and it says this: to spend time with God is to know God, and to know God is to love God, and to love God is to trust God, to trust God is to obey God, and to obey God is to be blessed. But it all starts with spending time with God. If you're not spending time with God, then you're not going to know him very well. You're not going to be refreshed in his love. Your love with him is not going, it's not going to be a great relationship, and you're missing out on what he wants to do in your life. And so it all starts with the time factor.
Well, and I think there's an element of just commitment that is involved with that, and to just be committed to spending that time with him. And I know in today's culture, commitment has like a totally different definition than it did when we were growing up. When we were growing up, if you said you were going to do something, your word was your bond. And if you said you were going to do it, I can remember my parents telling me, if you said you you're going to do it unless you're dead or in the hospital and absolutely unable. You better be getting it done, or there's going to be some consequences of that. But our today's culture isn't like that. They're committed until a better thing comes along. And so I think the enemy has gotten so many people exactly where he wants them, and that is their commitment to the Lord and to spending time with him. It's like, if I feel like it and it feels good today, I'll do that today. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to do that every day because I have something better to do today with that time, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. So I remember reading in a book that Adrian Rogers wrote on Revelation, and he said that he had a Romanian pastor that would— a friend that was a friend of his name was Joseph Tison, and Adrian had talked to him, and he said, what do you think about Christianity in America? And Joseph said, well, he said, I hear you guys talk a lot about commitment, making a commitment to Christ. And Adrian said, yeah, that's all right. We do talk about that. We challenge people to commit themselves to the Lord. And he said, we don't use that word in Romania. He said, why not? He said, because we use the word surrender. He said, we call people to surrender to Christ. He said, a commitment is one of those things, exactly what you said, Debbie. I'm committed today, but I'm not committed tomorrow because something else came along. A surrender is, I am not in control anymore. You're in control. I'm surrendered to Christ. And so the word commitment is not near as strong as surrender. And that's what the Christian life really is. It's a surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify Christ, set him apart as Lord, and 1 Peter 3:15, and that's how we live. That's how we walk with him. But I say, walk by the Spirit, surrender to the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's how you have victory in the Christian life. So as we spend time with the Lord and spend time in his word and talk to him, and it doesn't have to be, okay, I'm rigid, I have these 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour and a half, whatever it is. It's just, I'm spending time with somebody I love. So when we were dating, I wasn't looking at the clock to see, okay, well, Debbie, I've been with you for 30 minutes now, and so that I get to leave.
Yeah, hallelujah, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a check the box thing, it's a heart thing.
Right.
And you know, it would be like, hey, I don't have that much time. I'm on my lunch break at work or whatever. We're going to run, get a bite to eat, and then we have to say goodbye. And you understood, I understood, we understood, and we left loving one another. And that's how we are with the Lord. It's not a time thing, it's not a check the box thing. It's spending time with the one who loves you, who created you, who knows all about you, who wants what's best for you, and you get to spend time with him.
Well, we've talked about this on the broadcast before, Jeff, and I think a really good analogy of that in today's culture would be that you're just in a constant text thread with the Lord. You're never shutting that text thread off. So you're just always in communication. That doesn't mean every second, but at any given moment, you're in communication with him.
Right.
It's like you're on the phone
and
you just never hang up.
Right.
And that's a good way to live life.
Yeah. That's pray without ceasing.
Right. And so it doesn't mean that you're in this posture of prayer where you're on bent knee and eyes closed. You're not doing that all day because you couldn't live that way, right? Mm-hmm. But you're just in constant available communication with him, and you don't let sin build up in your life to keep you separated. You, as soon as those things happen, you confess those, you get those forgiven and cleansed, and you just keep walking with him. And I think that for me, one of the main ways that I can stay in communication with the Lord, because I'm such a music person, is worship music.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just keeps my heart focused in the right direction. It keeps me my priorities right, and it just allows the Lord to speak to me, because he is always at work around us. The question is, are we going to see it? Are we going to become involved in it because we've opened our eyes to see it? And when we're spending time with him, he illuminates those things to us. He
right.
shows us those things.
Right. Well, I think the benefit of music, and I like certain music. I'm not a super big musical guy. You know, people talk about groups and this and that. They're talking about the Rangers and playing Creed. And I was like, I don't know Creed. I saw the movie Creed, but that's not what it's talking about. Here's the benefit of praise music, worship music. It's like meditating on the Lord. So you sing those lyrics and you sing them over and over again. You know, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. It's just meditation. You're thinking about that. Okay, God is my source of refuge and strength, and He is going to defend me, and He is going to protect me. And you know, reading scripture, I always say this: don't read for distance, read for depth. And when you have a quiet time, and a quiet time is different than just reading the Bible through necessarily, or just reading through the Old Testament. Quiet time can just be a few verses. It can be a half a chapter. It can be, you know, Psalm 23. You're just thinking through, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's personal to me, and those kinds of things. And so it's better, especially for a young Christian, to read for depth, not for distance. Because I've talked to people over the years, and it's like, okay, you had a quiet time. You read five chapters. What did you get out of that? I can't remember, you know, because I read so much, and I can't remember any of it. Better to read five verses, and it really stays with you all day, and it's good. And you're great at this, Debbie. You read with a pen. Mm-hmm. You write out your prayers. Because you've read the Bible through 20 plus years, you read the Bible through. Well, when you read the Bible through, you're reading for distance, but there will be a verse or a couple right. of verses that you can really underscore, that you can write that down. You can say, this is what really spoke to me today, and go back to that.
Well, this is interesting. A gal in our Sunday school class this last week just said that, I think last year, as she read the Bible through, every time she got to the word love, she highlighted it throughout the entire Bible. Uh-huh. I thought that would be a cool way uh-huh. to read through the Bible, right. to look for that, you know, or any synonym of the word love. And I wanted to circle back just to the worship music for a minute, because as you well know, you and I differ just drastically on the styles of music that we like. But I think one of the things for me that worship music does, particularly some of the contemporary worship music, is it kind of gives voice to some of the things that I'm feeling that until I heard it verbalized that way in music, I hadn't really connected those dots before. Mm-hmm. And so I just think back to different times and things we were going through and a particular song
right.
that just, we would just almost have it on repeat because it would the words of it expressed the longings of our heart, the hurts in our heart. It just expressed it in such a way that prior to hearing that song, maybe we hadn't worded it quite like that before, but God just really used it in such a powerful way.
Right.
And just, you know, the Bible tells us over and over that God inhabits the praises of His people, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, the enemy can't be there. And so there's power in having your car filled with worship music, having your house filled with worship music to just keep the enemy at bay and keep him away.
Right. That's exactly right. I was just thinking about the song, Lord Move in the Way,
yes.
that I've never seen before.
Right.
When we were going through a really hard time 10 plus years ago, that song ministered to us a lot.
Yes.
You know, Lord Move or Move Me.
Right.
And that was a great prayer.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with Debbie. And we're talking about the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, a brief testimony about how God's love just overwhelmed you and how you fight to keep yourself in the love of God, we'd love to hear about it. So call that number, 888-589-8840, and we will talk. So we're up against a break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the program. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. Jude tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God, to keep in that love relationship with the Lord, that it would be white hot. As Jesus told the church in Ephesus, you're doing well, guys, but I have this against you. You have left God. your first love. That's a serious, serious sin, because the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you've left your first love, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, you need to get right. And that's why he tells them, you need to repent. If you don't repent and do the deeds you did at first, I'm going to remove your lampstand from you unless you repent. So we are talking about this important subject, and we are taking your calls. The phone line is open, 888-589-8840, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, Debbie, we said at the break that loving God is not like I have to have this big surge of emotion or I don't love him.
Right.
What's the test of loving God?
Well, I think that one of the big tests is, do we keep his commandments? Because the Bible's very clear about that. It tells us that he who loves me keeps my commandments. And so, you know, again, we don't get back into legalism where we're, oh, I've got to do this, check this box. I've got to do this, check this box. But it's from a heart of love that his commands are not burdensome to us. We long to please him. We long to do life his way, because we know his love has put those boundary markers in place for us so that we can survive and thrive in the boundaries that he has placed for us. And so keeping his commandments is a critical element in terms of us just staying in the love of God, keeping that love fresh, and being obedient to him.
Well, when we love God, it says in 1 John chapter 5, we love the children of God. And so let me read this passage, because how can you know? I mean, people want to know, how do I know that I love God? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So when you love the Lord, you want to be with the family. You know, we love our family. We love it when our family gets together, because we love them. They love us. We all love to be together. When you love the Lord, you automatically have a connection with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you look forward to getting together to worship the Father and to encourage one another, and that's a sign that you belong to him. I love to be with the people of God.
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, and I think our listeners will have had this experience as well, where you just have met someone and you just instantly feel a connection to him, and as conversation progresses, you find out that they're a brother or sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. There's just something there that connects you even before you know that.
Right.
And that's where we draw our strength, and that's where we get our power, is when we're in unity and in fellowship and communion with other believers. God did not make us for isolation. He made us for relationship with him and relationship with each other. Now, that does not mean that we just have warm, fuzzy love feelings for every single person in our sphere, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just unrealistic. But that does not mean that we do not have the love of Christ for them. You know, God doesn't call us to be best friends with everybody. I mean, let's just look at the life of Jesus. He loved everybody, but he had his 12, then he had his 3, right? Mm-hmm. That he took into the garden. I mean, so he had his intimates as well. And so, but I do think that's a big part of our love for God, is that our love for him overflows into loving other people.
Well, and I was thinking as you were talking about this quote from George Whitefield. This is what he said on his trip to America to preach and to evangelize. I am greatly persuaded that the generality of preachers talk of an unknown, unfelt Christ, and the reason why congregations have been so dead is because dead men preach to them. You know, you can tell when you're around somebody, there's just something inside. You know, it's like the Spirit bears witness that mm-hmm. that's a brother, that's a sister
right.
in the Lord. And then when someone, I've always kind of sense this, when someone's like, you talk about Jesus, but I don't think you know him.
Right.
Just the way you refer to him, the way you talk about things, you say the same words, but you're talking about somebody you don't know. And that is, you know, I think Christians can pick up on that. You know, does this person really love the Lord? Is it evident in his life? Do we have a connection? Because the danger is church becomes religion.
Right.
And your relationship, you trade your relationship with Jesus, or you don't have one because all you have is religion. That's what the crowd that nailed Jesus to a cross, they had religion. And religion without Jesus is mean.
Very mean.
if you need a refresher course in that, just look at Islam. Islam is religion without Jesus. And it doesn't think twice about slitting your throat. Hamas, their motto is, "We love death as much as you love life."
Oh, dear.
What a horrible motto. Yeah, they bombed their own hospital and killed 500 people and blamed it on the Jews.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that was a mistake on their part or what, but they want to blame that on the Jews. They don't care. They want their people to stay and be killed by the Israeli bombs because they want to show that on social media and look at what these terrible people from Israel have done to us. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have our good friend Naomi from Pennsylvania on the line. Naomi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. And I just was praising the Lord. And I said, it's amazing, you know, how beautiful it is to hear, you know, a couple. They talk only about the things of the Lord. That's the most beautiful thing, you know, that we, as a husband and wife, had to share together, you know, one name. Not only to have it in our heart, but to have it in our house, and wherever we go, and we wear it in whatever, you know, in whatever place that we go, we have to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is beautiful, because I hear that you guys, you know, just talking about him. And what else that we had to talk? You know, we had to talk about him because he is our joy. He is our hope. And he is our savior, our master, our friend. He is everything in our life, and without him, we are nothing. So I praise the Lord because he gave you guys the time and the love to talk about him early in the morning. Hallelujah.
You're so sweet.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. You're always a blessing. I always like to hear from you, and so I hope all is going well, and we just thank you for calling in. Well, it is a blessing, Debbie. You know, when we think about marriage and we think about people getting ready to say I do, the most important thing in that relationship is, does this person love the Lord? Am I marrying somebody who loves the Lord Jesus? Do they belong to Jesus? Is our home going to be built on Jesus? Because there's too much in our world today that will pull you apart if Jesus is not the chief cornerstone of your life.
For sure. You know, I was thinking as Naomi was talking about one of the things that we talked about this last week in our Sunday school class, and that was to just spend some time bringing to mind the ways that God has shown his love for you in your life. Just to spend time really focusing in on that, because we can just kind of start to take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously his biggest show of love for us was the cross. I mean,
that
surpasses absolutely everything else. But part of this experiencing God study, one of the statements or the tenets of it is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. It is such a personal love relationship that he has. He shows his love to each of us in such personal ways.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually just discipline yourself to remember and look back on those things, to remind yourself of so many different ways that God has expressed his love individually for you,
mm-hmm.
something special that he's done just for you. I mean, you know, a lot of people call that like a God wink, where God's just, you know, he just winked at you and just did this for you right now.
Right.
And I think it's important to do that and to look back and to be able to remember that.
Yeah, you know, we like the big things in life, and you know, God did this. He parted the Red Sea for me in a specific situation, and we get excited about that. You know, those are the big things. But I think that the love of God you know, outside of the cross, obviously that is the love of God. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But those little things, when there's a little situation in life and you pray about that, God, help me here. Help me, you know, maybe it's just something as small as finding your car keys or right. You know, something with your child or whatever it is. But when God does us, gives a specific answer to a specific prayer, and you just know God really does see everything in my life. He sees the big things. He sees the little things. And when he answers those little things, that just shows you, Psalm 139, you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. And a God who's intimately acquainted with all my ways, and he cares about even those little things, just shows me what a mighty God we serve, and what a loving Savior we have, that he would care about this little thing. I mean, God could, we kind of think in terms of, God says, well, I'm way too busy. I got, you know, I'm defending Israel in their war, and I got, and you're asking me about your car keys, you're asking me about this little thing. He cares about that.
Right.
And, you know, he rules with his feet up on the desk, and nothing is taxing to God.
Well, and I think so often we can just say, oh, what a coincidence. You know, I just was hoping I could find these keys, and boom, there they are. Well, you know, with God, there aren't coincidences. I mean, he orchestrates all of those things.
Right.
I remember this just on a practical level. You were on a trip somewhere. This is when we lived in Houston, and I could not find my wedding ring for anything. And so I remember I searched the house high and low. I had the girls looking with me. We just could not find it anywhere. And so finally, I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to ask the Lord to help me find this wedding ring, because it was just so important to me. And I prayed and I said, Lord, you know how much I don't want to lose this ring. Please help me find this ring. Just point me in the right direction to find this ring. And I mean, as soon as I voiced that prayer, in my spirit, I heard, you better go look in the garbage can in the bathroom. And so I went upstairs, went in the master bathroom, and sure enough, that ring was sitting right on top of the garbage can in the bathroom. And it was garbage day. Like, I would have dumped that into the garbage, taken it outside, and the trash man would have taken it. It would have forever been gone. And that was just such a aha moment for me. Like, okay, God is concerned about even the things that really are not. In eternity, who cares about that wedding ring, right? But it was important to me. And because it was important to me, he wanted me to find that ring.
Right.
You know?
Well, here's something I think about a lot. So the miracles that Jesus performed, everybody knows the first miracle he performed was turning the water to wine at the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee. Well, that is that's a miracle that when you think about it, it's not life and death. It's not like, Lord, heal my servant, he's about to die. Lord, heal my son, he's about to die. It's not that. It's the embarrassment for the people, for the family, to run out of wine. That was a major social faux pas. You didn't do that. You don't run out of food. You don't run out of drink at this wedding. For Jesus to do that, it shows that he cares about even those things that in the grand scale of life, they're not very big, but they're big to us. Mm-hmm. And if it's big to us, it's big to him. And so with our grandson, Jack or Chase, you know, something, or granddaughters, Lyndon or Emmy, if it's big to them, it's big to us.
Right.
Because it's important to you, and I care about you. And so that is, I think those little God winks are really, and it's important to write those down. If you don't write them down, you forget. And then you review those, and you say, when you're up against a big difficulty, a struggle, if you're down, discouraged, you just remember, well, I remember when this happened, and when God did this, and when God answered this prayer, and when God answered that prayer. And you know, Debbie, I was thinking too, lots of times we might be just kind of down and discouraged, and we need a word from a friend and pray, you know, Lord, I need a Jesus with skin on today.
Right.
Can you send somebody my way that would encourage me? And you get a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from in a long time. You get a letter in the mail. You get an email. Somebody goes out of his or her way to let you know, hey, I was just thinking about you today. And it's just God's way of saying, I know what's going on. I care about you.
Right. Yeah. I've had those things happen to me before. And it is, as you look back, you think, okay, that was absolutely a God thing that this person happened to say this to me today, because they had no idea of the situation right. I was currently in. And so that had to be the Lord. There's no other explanation for that.
Right. Well, Jude 1:21, the commandment, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Listen, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, before we even knew him, he loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. So we can receive that love, whether we're doing good or doing bad, we can receive that love and love him back and walk in his love. And the test is that you obey his commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you. If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.